Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Defender in the paint, puts it up for the lead. Unbelievable use of the left hand. Korver stepping up at the right time, using the left. A little kiss or a smooch. Great finish. Gotta go fast.
Jerome gives it up. Far side. Hunter.
Hits the three to tie it.
Watch it.
Oh, my goodness. With 12 seconds remaining.
Hunter continues with his great play in the second half. Knocks down that corner three.
And what happens a lot, great defense sometimes overhelps. A good reaction because of the dribble. You're looking to help your partner out. But a wide open knockdown jumper.
8 seconds, they're going to play it out. Culver pulls up three, off the mark, rebound Hunter.
They look for a timeout.
They look for a timeout, didn't go with the ball.
A guy was pointing for the timeout, they threw the ball to him.
And Hunter, yeah, he tried to set an outlet pass to Guy. All he had to do was hold the basketball in that scenario.
The inbound throw, looking for something. To the corner, Culver shot blocked by Key. And we have overtime for the national championship.
How good is this? Never packed a tag, Texas Tech. Woo!
And it's only fitting right here that Virginia gets a great stop on the defensive end. Key makes a clean block.
Opportunity where they kicked him for a three.
Mooney. He hit one like that that really fueled that comeback.
Only had one scholarship offer from Air Force. The way he has played here at the Final Four. Nice little jab step, squares up.
Ball screen at the top, but they get a nice cut by Mooney.
Mooney, three around him, looking for help. He'll take the shot instead.
And cut! The double bounce!
They sort of left the ball a little bit.
Knows how to shoot free throws at this rim.
This didn't pursue the ball. Mooney's so tough in this lane. We've seen this throughout the tournament. What a sweet caress.
Very sweet.
They really do. They've been able to get through the cracks, too.
The show zone to get to that man.
Hunter, get the shot at the end of regulation.
Oh, just
it does it again. They come back from three down to put up five unanswered to take a two-pop lead. Inside 2 minutes. Culver puts it on the hip. And Mamadi says, get that out of here.
On ball coverage and the reaction here.
Use the clock to their advantage.
With seven. Hops around Mooney, lays it in one.
Oh,
he'll shoot a couple. Jerome, who used to be coached by his father Mark, would heave, but nearly dropped. And then the next year down in Houston, the UConn one, they were in the upper deck.
The coach, the team, they live with this. And I've bemoaned it all year long. Just an incredible attitude, stick to this.
You see the emotion on the faces of the Virginia players going to that bench? Look up ahead, this. They've got Key.
Say goodnight.
And dunks it down. 8 points in front. Facing adversities over and over again and climbing the mountain. 8 seconds. Final seconds playing out. End of a fabulous tournament. Rebound into the hands of Hunter. And Virginia with the all-time turnaround title.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. That's courtesy of CBS March Madness. Virginia, our champs. What's going on, Ray?
The Virginia.
The Virginia?
The Virginia. Virginia Cavaliers, yes.
Yeah, the Virginia Cavaliers. Excuse me. The Virginia Cavaliers are NCAA champions.
Yeah, what a wild sequence, but the ACC has a team that's crowned a champion. Can we hate on the ACC this year? I doubt it. Three number one seeds. You have the eventual champion. The ACC ruled this year and what was a great tournament and just continues to prove that the NCAA tournament, March Madness, is one of the best sporting events that we have.
It's spectacular, man. It's spectacular. Again, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here, my boy Ray Jeezy. We'll tease out. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Well, T would normally say this. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. host of the In and Out Sports Show on WOL 1450 AM, Coach Butch McAdams, will join us to talk about Virginia winning the national championship last night. At 8:20, WNXT's Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic will join the show to discuss the Caps' first-round Stanley Cup playoff opponents, the Carolina Hurricanes. At 8:30, we'll talk about the Washington Nationals' horrible bullpen. Right now, the Washington Nationals are losing to the Phillies 1-4. Guess who hit a home run? Three-run shot. Bryce Harper off Strasburg, the big Strauss.
Why are we not talking about Chris Davis? You know,
we don't talk about the Orioles. I've been stopped doing that. Reasons. No, I told you. We stay local now.
Whenever the national struggle, that is local.
They're not local like that anymore, dog.
Right,
at 8:40, we'll debate if the Washington Wizards guard Bradley Beal is an all-NBA player. Finally, at 8:50, we'll examine the new beef between Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown. You've heard about that?
Of course. I've been following it.
Okay, they're real immature, right? Well, AB is very immature.
Wow.
Immature.
We'll see.
All right. Right now, we have host of the In and Out Sports Show on WOL 1450 AM, Coach Butch McAdams on the line. What's going on, Coach?
Hey, man. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Coach, last time you were with us,
we had technical difficulties.
You sort of predicted that Virginia could win the national championship. You mentioned them as a possible. And at the time, I think none of us really believed that. We were all riding with Duke for the most part. But, hey, look what happened.
So our brackets look terrible.
Maybe you can't hit those lotto numbers.
I never thought that Virginia would win it, but I thought they could certainly make it to the Final Four because they had everything set up in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
They had a very unfortunate, demeaning, embarrassing situation last year with the vast majority of their players returning.
Mm-hmm.
They were a very experienced team that could play defense but score a little more than they could last year. And I just felt that with this year, no team was flawless, and no team had NCAA champions written all over them. So I said, hey, why not Virginia at least to the Final Four?
Mm-hmm. It's crazy because how they played and how Coach Benning got those boys, to play hard down the stretch, especially, you know, obviously going through a lot of adversity during the tournament run anyway. That Purdue game comes to mind when it seems like Carson Edwards had that game wrapped.
Well, they are, you know, as I say, they're a veteran team. They know how to finish. They know how to win. And certain teams, like last year, for example, they had a good team, but they just did not have the ability to come from behind. This year's team is certainly more athletic, a little more offensive-minded, and with veterans, these guys don't panic, and they have a lot of poise, and they're always in the ball game, always.
Now, Coach, what does this say about the ACC and the way the conference seems to dominate this season? Again, three number one seeds, and now you have the champion in Virginia.
Well, look, the ACC traditionally has been a strong basketball conference with just great, quote-unquote, blue blood programs, Duke, North Carolina. Now you add Virginia, Florida State in the mix. It's still a very competitive conference.
Now, Coach, I'm so glad that the game turned out the way it did, because not only was it exciting, I think it proved a lot of doubters wrong that the Final Four was just lacking star power. And then that final championship game was lacking one of the kind of blue blood programs without Michigan State being there. But it turned out to be better than what any of us could have expected. Just what was your feeling on the way the game played out?
Well, I expected the game to be well played.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it before a number of times that while the Final Four teams weren't the blue blood programs like the Dukes or the Kentuckys or the UNCs, and you could make a statement that they may not have been the best four teams in the country, but they were the best teams playing at that particular time.
Yeah, I agree.
And I knew that Texas Tech and Virginia, from a fundamental standpoint, would be a clinic. I don't know whether you guys watched or observed the halftime segment during the game last night.
No, I didn't.
And Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley. And I love watching those guys. I respect those guys. But they were wrong.
They're wrong a lot.
Because they kept talking about, hey, they have to speed it up. They have to take shots earlier in the shot clock. And, you know, then they pointed out, well, hey, that's a shot they passed up. That's a shot. And I'm yelling at the TV, hey, guys, that's what these guys do. That's why they're here, because of their patience and playing within themselves. A lot of teams that shoot early in the shot clock, guess what? They were home watching the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, were you surprised that the game was like 85 to 77? A lot of people thought this game would be in the 50s for some strange reason, but it went to overtime.
Two good defensive teams.
Were you surprised that we saw that much scoring?
Well, no, I wasn't surprised, especially when you're talking overtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because again, going back to Barkley and the Jet, Kenny Smith, these guys, look, Texas Tech's defense is designed not necessarily to turn you over,
mm-hmm.
but to make you uncomfortable, to put you in a rhythm that you are not familiar with and force you to take shots that are out of the offense. Virginia came in and they said, look, you know what? We're going to take the shots we want to take, not the shots that Texas Tech wants us to take. And that's why, again, during the halftime segment with the guys, Smith and Barkley, talking about guys passing up shots, well, Virginia and Texas Tech, they are a well-developed team.
Mm-hmm.
And guys stay within themselves. They stay within the role. And Kenny Smith kept saying, well, in order to win a national championship, you got to do things that are uncomfortable. You got to do things that are not familiar. I debate that.
Mm-hmm.
Because point to me three champions in the past that played outside themselves. Tell me.
Well, Coach, honestly, it could have been some underlying bitterness. You had a Carolina guy and Kenny Smith. You had an Auburn guy and Barkley. So maybe that's what it was, especially with Barkley. He should have been the one that maybe had a beef. But it seemed like Texas Tech, their defense let them down at the end when DeAndre Hunter hit that big three. What did you think about DeAndre Hunter's performance throughout the tournament, including last night?
Well, look, I think that Coach Beard, who was a Bobby Knight disciple,
mm-hmm.
did an excellent job.
I think so, too.
And you could certainly make an argument for him to be Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. However,
yeah.
if I were coaching last night and I had the three-point lead down the stretch, I would have called timeout.
I would have called timeout. That's a good point.
And I would have reminded the players of the situation. I would have said, guys, we are up three. Do not give up a three-point play. Don't foul and extend on the shooters. If they beat us, and see what initially on that play, it looked like that's what they were doing. They were saying, we'll give up to two.
Yeah, it looked like a layup.
Exactly.
But hit a brain freeze.
Coach, they didn't even get a hand up on that three-point shot. That's what made me mad. I had just texted my man. He like, no foul, and you got to get a hand up, no three.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they
like
gave
up. Ty Jerome hit with the okie-doke, though. Hit with the okie-doke like he really wanted to lay it up.
Listen, because if you remember the play prior, it was the same situation or very similar, where Jerome penetrated and he didn't dish. They forced him to shoot it off balance and he missed. And so I'm thinking and saying, okay, we're going to let this guy, if he beats us, we're going to let him score. But at no time, you know, again, I'm coaching. Mm-hmm. I'm saying identify the shooters, Guy and Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave those two players. Everybody else can help out, but stay with Hunter and Guy. And, you know, they left. Everybody collapsed to the middle. They kicked it out. Great play.
Yeah.
To a wide open Hunter, and Hunter,
it was clutch.
Hunter nailed it. Mm-hmm. You know?
I know, nothing but net. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we have host of In-N-Out Sports Show on WOL 1450 AM, Coach Butch McAdams, on the line with us. So, Coach, what does this national championship do for Tony Bennett in terms of his coaching legacy?
Oh, I think it puts him now in the elite class. He was always a very, very good coach, but now he gets that quote-unquote monkey off his back.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were whispering, well, you know, Bennett is a tremendous regular season coach, but his system, his style is not conducive to winning a championship. Well, that's dead now.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Bennett has a couple of other, at least, Final Four visits.
Yeah, I think it's very similar to Gary Williams when he got that national championship. It placed him in a class with some of the great coaches, and they both did it without the McDonald's All-Americans, without the one and done. So just a great job for Coach Bennett. You feel good for him. He's such a good dude. That's what I really like about him, and I feel like he's been a strong coach. And to bounce back from that huge loss, that shit was great. But, Coach, thanks as always for joining us. We appreciate the insight and look forward to having you maybe to talk some NBA playoffs, James Harden.
And also, man, hey, get me in here to talk some Nets. I love baseball.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to do that then. You know what? That's next.
Oh, we're going to talk about
next,
that later
next,
on.
Yeah, next
about
week.
This, about this bullpen.
Matter of fact, let's do that next week, Coach. Let's do that next week.
All right, well, just give me a call.
All right, we'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was great. That was a great discussion, man.
Absolutely. Coach has a lot of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Coach likes all sports. Coach talks boxing as well.
You know what? I may not do. I talked about this. I'm not going to do a show. Yeah. We're not doing a show next week.
We're going to be off there
for like 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, basically. But again, that was WOL 1450 AM's Coach Butch McAdams. So again, make sure you check him out. When is he air?
He's on
air?
Sundays. 11 to 1, man. And he always has awesome guests. I'm talking about everybody from Dick Vitale.
He was on 980 today. I heard him.
Coach was?
Mm-hmm. He was on 980 today. I heard it. I was like, oh, snap.
Yeah, Coach.
And he's doing the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Coach is just a little, you know, he's a little bit up there the way he's not going to tweet you a whole lot, but you know, it would be nice if he would, you know, to tweet it. I'm on ESPN 980 with the Team 980, my bad.
It's the Team 980.
And on Urban Sports Scene. You know, just put us up there in that class. That's where we're headed. But you know what? We still love Coach anyway. Always appreciate the love.
Again, I appreciate him. He's a great
Because
guy.
One thing that he brought out that I didn't think of was, was the timeout. If he's Texas Tech, I would have called a timeout. And I'm like, wow.
I wouldn't have thought about that.
But. And you know what? I feel like that's easy to say in hindsight or as we're watching at home. In the moment, you up three, you this close to a championship.
You're not.
I'm not calling a timeout.
Okay.
You know, but I'm not gonna go back and
it's
forth
hard.
With Coach.
That's
but
hard.
The strategy sounds good. It makes sense.
It sure does. But yeah, it does make sense. But I had to look at my notes.
That's all right.
WNXT's Ed Frankovic will join us to talk about the Caps' first round matchup against the Carolina Hurricanes. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Here we go. Welcome to the NCAA tournament.
This tournament is a champion. Now we have to find out where we stand.
Work together.
The ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star, and all the years.
Roger McGee is not human. Look at that. Behind the back. Into the hole for two. It's a jam. 3 seconds. Waters to the rim. Way up.
Did you know? Who doesn't like one shot at a moment? You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy.
Every year.
And myself, Wally.
I don't get hype about it.
You don't get hype for one shot at a moment?
I don't. I feel like this season, though, was one of the more emotional NCAA tournaments where these kids, they laid it all out there. And it was so many. I mean, you know how the first round always has, you know, buzzer beaters.
Yeah.
But if Belmont gets beat on a buzzer beater or whatever, it's not that big of a deal.
It's one shot moments.
We're talking about trips to the Final Four where there were controversial calls. You know, big shots. It's crazy.
One shot moment is special, dog. But right now, we have WNX NST's Capitals Insider, Washington Capitals Insider, Ed Frankovic on the line. What's up, Ed? And also, Ed, do you like one shining moment? Are you a fan of that, too?
What was that again?
Are you a fan of one shining moment? Like, you know.
One shining moment?
Yeah.
No, I went to bed.
Oh, my God. Who doesn't? I stay up for one shining moment. Why do we? Who doesn't listen to one shining
you got
moment?
It, brother.
One shining moment is.
Did you guys see Darren Rubble, the guy, ESPN business guy on Twitter? Did you see him singing that, recording that before the game? It's absolutely hilarious.
Oh, I'll check it out.
Viral on Twitter.
I'll check
is
it out.
Is that how you pronounce his name? I always
it's
call
so
him Ravel. It don't matter.
How do you put
it's
say
so
again?
Bad it's funny.
It's so bad it's funny? I got to check that out.
Oh, yeah. I'll check it out. I call him Ravel anyway. Sorry.
Yeah, Ravel. You got it.
You were right. Look at you. 85%. Mr. 85%. He always has to be right.
I'm not trying to knock you. Mr. Ed, no doubt.
All right. So, Ed, the Caps are taking on the Hurricanes Thursday night up in Capital One Arena. The Caps are, I believe, they're 4-0 against the Hurricanes this season. Am I correct?
You are correct, although the games are very close.
Very close. All right, so what are the threats? What threats do the Hurricanes possess for the Caps?
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest one is a guy by the name of Sebastian Aho, who was an all-star, and that guy absolutely kills the Caps if the Caps aren't paying attention. Last week when the Capitals beat them twice, and they literally stole the Thursday night game. The first game they played, they dominated. They deserved that game.
Mm-hmm.
The second game, Braden Holtby flat out stole the game against Carolina because Carolina controlled the puck against the Capitals. But Aho is a fantastic young forward. He wears mm-hmm. number 20, and he is their best player. Then they have Taro Teravainen, who's very good up front, and Justin Williams usually plays with those guys on the top line. So those guys are very good, and they have some pretty good defensemen. Justin Falk is a very good defenseman, American defenseman. Dougie Hamilton, who's bounced around, drafted by the Bruins, then went to Calgary, fell out of favor there, got traded to Carolina last year. So those are the guys you need to watch.
Okay. So what do the Caps need to do to win this series then? Is it different from, say, last year's postseason when they played Columbus in the first round? Is that different? Is this a different type of animal?
It's going to be a different game, although I will give Columbus a lot of credit. They really skated well against the Capitals in that series last year.
Mm-hmm.
But as the series went on, the Capitals really locked it down defensively. And remember, the first two games last year were played by Grubauer in net.
Yeah.
And they exposed his glove hand. Once Holtby went in, it was a different series. Although, game three could have gone either way. The Caps were forcing it there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, Aho is a similar player. Aho is a very good player, like Artemi Panarin, who was really the guy who was leading the way for Columbus last year when they played head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
You really got to watch Aho and Teravainen. I think what the Capitals want to do is play physical with these guys. Carolina's going to want to play more of a skating game. They're not a big team, but they're going to want to skate. They're going to want to trade odd man rushes, rush situations with the Caps. So it's really important that the Capitals stick to the structure that they used so well last year and lock the game down. Not get caught up where they're going into the offensive zone and they're forcing passes to the middle of the ice, giving Carolina opportunities to use their speed and get rushes the other way. That's what the Capitals want to avoid. What they want to do is make Carolina play a 200-foot game. If they don't have a good pass or or a good opportunity come across the blue line, they got to put the pucks deep, behind the net or on the net, and make Carolina have to work to bring it out and really get them with the forechecking. Because the Capitals are big and they're fast.
Mm-hmm. So you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we have WNST's Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the line. So, Ed, how with the loss of Michael Kempney, how is that going to impact this series?
Well, I think the loss of Kempney definitely hurts. There's no doubt about it, man. He's a left-handed D, and he played really well with John Carlson. And they had settled into a nice Carlson, Kempney, Niskanen, Orlov, and then Orpik and Jensen pair. With Kempney, a lefty going out, you now you bring Juice in, but he's really not Michael Kempney ability. So he really didn't work well with Carlson. I don't think they're going to do that because Carlson's going to play too many minutes. Christian Juice had a big injury in December, and he's still working his way back. He's played pretty well when he's been in, but he missed a lot of time and lost a lot of strength. So I think you're going to see they're going to have to probably, if they're going to play Jensen more, they're going to have to play somebody on their offside. So that's going to be different. That's going to be challenging. So the loss of Kempney definitely hurts. There's no doubt about it. He was a key piece to last season. Last year they went with two lefties on that third pair. Now they're probably going to have to figure out what they're going to do. They're probably going to have to go two righties on one of the pairs, top two pairs. They experimented around with Carlson and Jensen. We'll see how it works. But again, it's difficult because if you get a good right wing coming down and you've got a right-hand shot defending him, it's easy for that right wing coming offensively to shield the puck from the defenseman. Where if he's a lefty, he can put that stick in the lane and kind of stop him along the board. So that's where they're going to hurt. Now, Tara Vinen's a really good right-handed shot, so I think Carolina's going to try and expose that a bit by bringing Tara Vinen down the right-hand side, bringing the puck in. Aho's a lefty, so it's easier for the Caps to stop him coming down the left side. So I think the guy to watch then is Tara Vinen with the Capitals missing a key left-handed D in the series.
Okay, before I let you go, give us a series prediction for our show.
I'm going to go Caps in six. I think Carolina will find a way to win a couple games.
Okay.
And the Capitals historically don't usually get up for Carolina, but this is the first time they're meeting in the playoffs. And the Capitals, they seem to have elevated their game 13-4-1 before that last meaningless game. So I like the way they're playing. I feel good about it and look forward to talking more with you guys about over the playoffs.
Definitely. So, Ed, are you going to the game on Thursday?
I will not be at game one, but I will be at game two.
Okay.
My son is playing on Thursday night, so I will get home just in time to see puck drop.
Congrats.
But my son has a – I'm sorry?
Say congrats.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, my son has a game. Has a clinic. He's getting ready for his tryout. And so I will get home in time, 7:30, to watch the game, and then I'll be down there on Saturday, hopefully taking a 2-0 lead. And maybe next week when we get together, they're up 3-0. We'll see.
Hope so. I'm hoping on that. I want a back-to-back.
That would be sweet. A lot of work to go. You guys know how hard it is, and the first round is the hardest round to win.
Sure is. But thanks, Ed. I appreciate you, and we hope to have you on again. We will have you on again for the postseason run.
Anytime you ask, I'm there for you guys.
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Ed.
Hey, take care, Walt.
Again, that is Ed Frankovic. He is the WNST's Capitals insider. Ed is amazing.
I tell you, expectations are high, and for a guy like Ted Leonsis being the owner of the Washington Wizards as well, he could not wait for this postseason in the NHL to start. I tell you, I got some inside info.
Did you really? All right,
we'll discuss that a little bit.
Well, right now,
talk about Bradley Beal.
No, you're good. You're good. Well, the Nats are down 1-6-1 to the Phillies. This is disappointing. This is very disappointing. We're going to talk about the Nationals' horrible bullpen, though. After the break, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages.
Bullpen,
you did.
I need it tonight, baby.
You're right.
The best player on the floor. He's our
homer.
We're gonna rally.
There's a new member of the Final Four Club.
There goes.
You always get your fans.
Oh,
Giroux.
Here it is.
Hold on. We got a foul call.
Unbelievable ending.
Step it up big time. Dagger. And what a journey it has been. And we have overtime for the national championship.
Yeah, I know it is. But that, oh, yeah, because I'm not going to be. No, what? You're listening to Urban Sports Day with Ray and Wally. We'll tease out. Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's a great podcast. Make sure you check them. Check it out. I'm trying to look at my notes.
Strasburg needs to just – oh, okay. But he already walked Bryce.
He already walked Bryce. All right. So right now the Nationals, well, they're, like I mentioned before, the Nationals are down to the Philly 6-1. But the Nationals have one of the worst bullpens in baseball. Like Ray mentioned, though, the bullpen isn't the issue tonight. It's not tonight.
Well, it's only in – what are we, in the fourth inning?
Yeah.
Things could change.
It could. They could still score.
The bats got hot in New York.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that
they'll
make a game of it. But, yeah, the bullpen is obviously –
it's not the issue today at the moment.
I never thought that I would miss guys like Manny Acta and Drew Storen until now. I'm dead serious.
The manager and also the old closer?
Of course. I'm glad you pointed that out. I feel like I'm writing an article all over
again. Oh, look at you. Look at you.
But, you know, because Dave Martinez, I like – to some degree, or I have to respect, I should say, the whole glass half full approach in the sense of, look, we're 4-4. We came out of a tough New York series with 2 out of 3 wins. But dude, your ERA is over 10 for your bullpen. You can't win like
10.17.
You called up Ross, who got rocked.
He got rocked. Oh my God. All your moves suck.
Rosenthal can't get an out.
Yes, infinity. So isn't that infinity? That's his ERA.
Who in the world is going to be responsible for helping to turn that around? Is it Rizzo? Do you now spend some money you didn't sign Bryce? That's something that I would
should have did that anyway.
That's like something I would ask, you know, a dude like Ryan from Nats GM because you know he's closer to the team.
Yeah.
But
actually he's an agent now. He doesn't do that stuff
for real?
Basically anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he's
an agent. Up.
Yeah. He said he can't speak on other clients. I mean not his clients, other players because they're not his clients. I was like, oh snap. I wanted to get Ryan.
Wow. Okay. Show me the money. All right.
George just tweeted us. He said should be missing Dusty.
Dusty
Baker, yeah, clearly the best manager we've ever had over the last decade.
And you know what, George? I think that you don't appreciate someone till they're gone.
Ran him out. No. I liked Dusty.
You love Dusty.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't like the hire, but I could not argue with his results.
Yeah.
And it was because I wanted somebody else. I didn't want Dusty at the time. I didn't want Dave Martinez either.
I'm going to say this. Dusty had the same jacked up bullpen, and this team was not winning divisions.
Not quite.
He didn't. No, he did. Dusty had a jacked up bullpen.
I thought you meant the same guys.
No. Same jacked up bullpen.
The same
No. Jacked up bullpen, and was still got this team to the postseason.
So you also need to find a leader in the clubhouse. Max Scherzer to me is got to be that guy because
he pitched
his heart out,
mm-hmm.
and to see you know him having wins turn into no decisions or losses or whatever you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Is so unfortunate. I'm just trying to figure out. Where does the turnaround start? Does it start with the manager? Does it start with the GM? Does it start with, you know?
Well, first they got to get better pitching from the bullpen. I think they can turn it around if they can do that, but they have to make moves. Like they have
there
to.
There you go. So it starts
like,
with GM.
Yeah, GM too. Right? Yeah, I agree. Like they have to go after Kimbrel. Like you got to go after Craig Kimbrel. You have to. He's a guy. He's on the market right there. If you want to spend money, you spend money on getting Corbin, who is a really good starter. Like he's a very good starter. He's an ace on many ball clubs. But for years, people have complained that this team needs a bullpen. Well, how about moving Slot and Doolittle to your setup, man? Have Kimbrel as your closer. Now your bullpen, it looks more lights out because now all you need is that seventh inning guy. You got Scherzer. You got Strasburg. They typically can get you to the sixth. Like all you need is a guy who can do this. You need one at the seventh, one in the eighth, and one in the ninth. You would have Kimbrel would be your shutdown ninth. Doolittle will be your shutdown eighth, and you can get anybody in the seventh or mix and match in the seventh inning. So like when you look at this team, it's on Rizzo. Rizzo got to make a play. Like you gotta improve it. Like, so I put it out there on Twitter, on social, and on Facebook. How should the Nats fix their situation? On Twitter, Taj Wilson said they can't unless they are willing to trade some of their top prospects, and they can't because the chatter that I'm starting to hear is that they may not be able to sign Rendon. Yeah, so you can't trade Sanchez. You can't trade Sanchez, Kiboom, or any other top prospect because they need them. You need your prospects if you're not going to sign Rendon, but it's a must. You better sign Rendon.
He's
a must.
He's a priority.
He's a priority. Like, you give him the money because, again, Rendon.
He might be our best hitter right now.
Yeah, and Rendon is having
our
a license.
Our best hitter.
Your best hitter.
Stop.
He's a lights out hitter, so you better keep Rendon. On Facebook, George posted, trade more prospects away, which we can't afford to do. Sign Craig Kimbrel, I hope that Rizzo and Davey Martinez gets fired when the season ends.
Still in George's material, huh?
No, I didn't say Rizzo gets fired. I didn't say that. He said that. Me and George agree pretty much on a lot of the Nat stuff, but I don't agree with Rizzo being fired though. I like Rizzo.
Mike Rizzo being gone is one thing that we can't predict. It's not as complicated as the Ernie Grunfeld situation with the Wizards. But then again, what would lead to him being fired? It would have to be something egregious, or it's going to be them finishing 20 games under 500. I don't know, but I feel like Rizzo's not going nowhere, George. I'm sorry, bro.
Making Davey Martinez because the manager is a fireable offense.
Are we talking Bradley Beal next?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, because the whole Ernie Grunfeld situation, just to note, since we're talking about Mike Rizzo as well, did you know that Wizards season ticket holders said they weren't renewing unless Grunfeld was gone?
Is that the reason?
That was what tipped over.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the frustration of Wizards fans. So from what this source told me, the next day after they fired Grunfeld, There were phone calls saying, did you see the news? Are you ready to renew? And they like, yes, we are. The fans. But there's not enough passionate Nats fans to make.
No, they're not going to make that happen. They love Rizzo, now, too. And they love Rizzo, though. Most Nats fans love Rizzo.
I don't have a problem with Rizzo. George, what's your problem with Rizzo? Let us know. I feel like he's been pretty good. But obviously, if the team has had a bad bullpen for years, maybe that's one place you can start.
But the
learners, I don't know. They're tough to work for.
They're cheap. Supposedly they're cheap.
Well, they spent some money.
I think so too. Again, if you have anything you want to say, just tweet us at Urban Sports Scene or hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Is Bradley Beal an all NBA player? We'll discuss that after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy. I'm Wally. We'll tease out. All right. Wizards guard Bradley Beal is averaging 25.7 points per game with 5.5 assists and 5.7 rebounds. Is Bradley Beal, in your opinion, an all NBA guard?
Caliber guard?
I guess, caliber, or should he make the all NBA team?
I think that The fact that he made the All-Star team this year, it makes him worthy of a selection. He's had an awesome season. He's played he's played even better with Wall being out at the latter part of the year, where he's playing with a bunch of G League guys.
No, Jeff Green isn't a G League guy. Yeah,
okay, he's playing with Jordan McRae, who's back and forth between.
Yeah, because they're trying to be terrible
he's
now.
He's playing with
Oh, what's the guard? Brian, the point guard, Randall.
Yeah, Randall. Yeah, chasing Randall.
Yeah.
Bryant, he's,
I think Bryant is more than
Thomas
a G League
Bryant.
Player.
No, Thomas Bryant's had an excellent year, but I'm just saying he was a G League guy.
Oh, I know what you're talking. You're talking about in their in their recent past. I got you.
Come on.
Yeah,
now.
I'm not arguing.
Jeff Green, yeah, you can note him, but think about it. Even if Jeff
Portis, you got what's
Portis
his name?
Not a G League guy.
Either, yeah, I know it's not G League. I'm saying the other guy
he's
playing with.
You look at this roster right now. What is he really working with as far as? Yeah.
Still not
you know,
winning.
Guys, I like the guys on the team. Jason Randall plays hard.
Yeah.
And he balls. It's just when you're trying to compete to make the playoffs, unfortunately.
I've always liked Jabari Parker.
With the way that Jabari Parker's
I think he's just talented. He's such a talented scorer. But go ahead.
With the way the team is constructed, it's hard to compete with the Eastern Conference that's stacked right now. That's what I'm saying. It's no knock to those guys. These guys earn their way to the NBA. I cannot stress that enough.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, when you were trying to compete for a playoff spot, they just up until the last four or five games, they were eliminated. But they never gave up. But at the same time, they could not defend.
Yeah.
No matter who was on the court, they couldn't defend. Even before the big trades with Keith going to OKC and Porter going to Chicago. But I'm just saying, the way he's performed, the way he's led the team, he made the All-Star game for the second time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's an all-NBA caliber player, but I don't know if he'll be named all-NBA just for the simple fact that there are so many guys who are probably ahead of him.
That's the thing. It's just who's the people he's going up against.
Right.
And to be honest with you, it's like he's going against the establishment. What I mean by that is you got guys who've done it before, and they're off their reputation alone, they're going to consistently make it. Like, if you look at his stats compared to, like, a Klay Thompson stats, you can make the argument that Bradley Beal's had a better year than Klay Thompson. But
yeah, that's not a good comparison to me.
But you know what I mean?
Because he's on a stacked team, Klay is.
Yeah, but I'm saying
his role is much different.
Different. But I'm just saying, though, Klay's going to probably be an all-NBA player, though.
Well, Klay is better defensively.
I'm not saying that Bradley Beal's having a better year than Klay. That's not. I'm just saying that people, like, he's going to go against people like that that are already supplanted as all-NBA players.
I don't think that's fair, though.
What?
The establishment. I feel like these guys, whoever
they
the establishment,
it, right?
I think they're worthy.
I think they earn it. I think they're worthy too. What I'm saying is that for Bradley Beal, he's not going to have a chance.
That's
their stack. He's not going to have a chance to really make it. And also, to be honest with you too, he's putting up good stats against with a bad team.
Yeah, that's issue. Winning has to come into the equation, obviously, because this is why Wall was an All-NBA guy.
Yeah,
because
they won with
not only
it.
Did he put up numbers, but the team was winning, and that's the biggest difference. One could argue that Wall, when healthy and when in peak shape.
I knew you were going for it.
No. When he's balling, for real, when he's playing at a high level, he could be considered top 10, but he also makes the team better. He gets everyone involved.
He'll start doing that a little bit, though. A little bit in that stretch run. He was getting he got a triple double. He was passing the ball. I mean, his assists are up.
Dude,
I'm just saying.
You're killing me, bro. First of all, you try to argue for their roster. Like, wait a minute, I don't agree. Jeff Green.
Look, man, look. I'm a pro John Wall. So any argument against John Wall,
I like
I'm
both
not
these
for.
Guys. I'm just
I like
saying,
Bradley Beal too.
I'm just saying
he's growing on me
because the Washington market really it doesn't get a whole lot of publicity, but John Wall elevated this franchise to that national level that Bradley Beal hasn't done for the simple fact that he's had a bad situation with the trades, with the GM, with all that's gone on with John Wall getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He's not able to get the team where John Wall was. With John Wall had a better supporting cast.
It goes back to your point.
What's that?
That John Wall,
thank you.
When he was doing it. No, I'm being real. Shut up. When John Wall was doing it, they were winning. Like, at the end of the day, they were winning. And, you know, you could say a better supporting cast. I don't know if the team that with Trevor Ariza and whatnot was that with the supporting cast was that much better, to be honest with you. I mean, it was solid.
So listen to this. just because this is an argument that's been presented.
Yeah.
You got a team like the Indiana Pacers that continue to win.
And they don't have anybody.
Without a superstar, quote unquote. Even though Miles Turner.
Why not use the Clippers?
Sabonis. The Clippers is a good example, but the Nets.
Okay, Nets.
The Nets or the Magic are the ones that.
There you
that,
go.
That's, those are the two that, that people are saying, you know what? Just because you don't have the top guy doesn't mean you can't win.
I totally agree.
And
that's the.
It's not a knock on Bill. It's a knock on Scott, Brooks.
I totally agree with you. I've always said this.
I'm a Scott Brooks guy. I think he's just a good dude. Maybe because I'm coming from a media perspective, just being real.
Yeah,
but from a coaching perspective, defensively, they failed and he's got to fix it. That has been the singular reason why they weren't able to even come close to making the playoffs because they couldn't defend nobody. Not even the worst teams in the league they could stop.
You're not going to have me argue that point. Argue with you.
And
on
that is why Bradley Beal can't be All NBA because there's too many factors going against him. That's internal.
Yeah. Because it's like
and then the establishment on another crap.
The establishment. Which Orlando is a good example. Like Orlando has what? Aaron Gordon? Is that your star?
I like Brooklyn better because your boy is out there.
D'Lo killing.
And you know you're not a fan of him.
Yeah, but he's killing though.
He shows that if you keep working at it,
you're going to be all right.
Knock out the haters.
You'll be all right. You work on your game. You believe in yourself. You'll be all right. And you got a coach who believes in you.
And see, you know what?
A coach who believes
in you. That's true too. But Brad is one of those guys too.
No,
Brad is a team guy.
You got respect.
He always comes to work hard. He's positive, and I just feel kind of bad for him because he is like a D. Russell. He keeps working hard. He's not satisfied with just a big paycheck.
But you can't.
He balls.
But you like.
And he's getting better every season.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. That's when you judge a basketball player.
Ever
when he came into the season, came into the league. Excuse me. We all used to say like his pat ain't that good. Look, his pat is better.
But he said, I've been working on my ball handling.
You got
he's worked on. We used to get nervous when he drove the ball. We didn't know what he was going to do.
What going
to
do with
but
it?
But he's a better shot creator. He gets to the rack.
He's a better creator for others, too.
He's worked on his body. You notice he's been more durable the last two or three seasons?
No, you got to respect. I respect Bradley Beal. So I posted on Facebook and Twitter, you know, is Bradley Beal an All-NBA player? Jans J tweeted, definitely. Will he get it? Doubtful. That's what Ray, basically what Ray was talking about. Like, he's going against a lot of people for him to get that all NBA nod. And that's extra money too. Tony Levin posted on Facebook, no, but Wall should be traded. You hate on John Wall. Stop hating on Wall. Eric Johnson also said no. Brandon Gordy said he better be after they ran him like they did this season.
And that's true, too. His usage was high. Usage rate was high.
Especially when you're trying to tank it, right? When you're supposed to tank it.
Well, I mean.
They didn't tank it, but you know what I mean.
The chances for them to get the number one pick is not the greatest. But
it could have been better by losing more.
It's better than the Lakers, which is good. I'd rather see the Lakers not get that pick and trade of Anthony Davis as opposed. I'll take Zion. Stop trying, draft Zion.
Is that the same?
I think it was.
Stop trying, draft Zion.
Something like that.
I'm not
saying it right. I didn't say it right.
It sounds right though. But it was, stop trying.
Something to that effect.
Get Zion.
That's a New York Knicks fan that made it up. I'm pretty sure.
I'm positive. All right, Antonio Brown and Juju are beefing.
John Wall going to team up with Antonio Brown. They going to jump him.
We're going to have like a gold goatee. We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to Herb Sports. Yeah, he had a gold mustache.
He's trying to be a
trendsetter?
Well, basically like an Allen Iverson, like a cultural icon. Yeah, it didn't work.
It ain't work.
Kind of like OBJ. Everybody got his hair cut, you know?
Yeah, I hate that crap.
But it worked, though. Jared Hurd.
It did work.
Look at the Akeke, baby. We got it. Texas Tech had local ties too. They had a kid from Odenson, man. I was rooting for Texas Tech.
All right, but we're going to break, man. You listen to Urban Sports Super Agents. You dig? Deuces.
Random thoughts.
Diddy, Cesar Leo, De Janeiro, Charlie Baltimore, Iceberg Slim, The Most Shady, Frankie Baby. We here. Do you know what beef is? We ain't going nowhere.
Ask yourself. Do you know what beef is?
Check out this bizarre rapper style used by me. The V.I.G. I put my key, you put your key in. Money will be seeing. We'll reach the floor up ceiling. Check it. My calico bin cop. This rap Alfred Hitchcock drop top notch. Player hating gon' stop. This instant, rappers too persistent. Quick to spit. Biggie name on
Make my name taste like ass when you speak it. See me in the street, your jewelry, you can keep it. That be our little secret, see me. Be that is, I that is, gee whiz. Sick of a lot feeling my big. I hope they know my new gotta fuck, kidnap kids. I'm in they air, throw them over the bridge. That's how it is, my shit is laid out. That be that shit is played out. Y'all got the goal. All I make is one phone call. All y'all disappear by tomorrow. All your guns is borrowed. I don't feel sorrow. Actually, your man passed the gap to me. Now check this. What's beef? Beef is when you need two cats to go to sleep. Beef is when your moms ain't safe up in the streets. Beef is when I see you. Guaranteed to be in ICU. One more time. What's beef? Beef is when you make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Second greatest rapper of all time, Biggie Smalls.
Who the first?
Tupac.
Okay, my man. See, all right, we're gonna have a discussion real quick.
Scarface,
real quick.
That's a DMV.
No, not that. How can you? Baltimore. I feel like because of his death, the long, like he didn't get hit. Biggie.
Okay.
I feel like it's hard to rate him like that high. But I mean, because he didn't. How many albums did he put in the game? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like his life was taken so early to a point where he didn't put enough albums or put enough work. To be saying, you know what, he the GOAT.
Life After too. Death, Ready to Die, those are two classic
yeah,
albums.
Yeah, two. That's that, only two, though, right?
Well, I mean, you, I don't know where you stand as a rap fan because you definitely wouldn't put Jay ahead of him.
No.
But, but if, you, if you're talking about albums, you know, classic albums, yeah. Then you got to put Jay ahead of him.
Yeah,
ahead
that's
of him
fair. That's
because,
fair.
You know, Reasonable Doubt all the way till Zion, the Black like, album.
Like,
to,
you like the Black album?
Yeah.
I don't like Black album. Yeah, I don't like Reasonable Doubt either though. I'm like, but I do like American Gangster.
You ain't like Reasonable Doubt?
Nah, I like Blueprint though, and I like American Gangster. I love American Gangster. I don't hate.
Hold on, you like the Blueprint, but you don't like Reasonable Doubt?
Yeah, I like Blueprint more than I like Reasonable Doubt.
Okay, man. I don't know. I mean, like I said, you're a weird kind of fan. You know, you listen to like Outkast. Hey y'all.
What's wrong with Outkast though?
Killer Mike and all that stuff. I mean, I'm just saying.
What's wrong with? Kill him up. Oh, yeah, because you was in my car.
Yeah, you used to play some like some clown type stuff. So.
I like Lil Flip. You know what I'm saying? I like 3-6 Mafia.
Oh, yeah, well, hey.
Well, I can't like Lil Flip.
My man
I knew
Tip
it.
Retired.
Here we go.
He retired, of course. Get him out of here. The show.
Listen to the Earth Sports scene.
Retired. Sit him down.
Ray, myself, Wally, we're your host. I hate you, dude. In a picture. Acknowledging Juju Smith-Schuster as the Steelers MVP, AB tweeted emotion. Boy fumbled the whole postseason in the biggest game of the year. Everyone went blind. Too busy making guys famous. Not enough reality these days.
Okay, I don't have a problem with it for the simple fact that as fans of sports and also as guys who are quote unquote in the media.
Yeah.
We would rather someone be candid enough.
Yeah, keep it a buck, right?
Right, as opposed to, oh yeah, well he's a great player. You know, he'll learn from it. And nah, come on, man, this is how you feel. This is how guys feel in the locker room when your teammate screws up and you pissed about it.
Yeah.
And this is said, like, how can he fumble like that? I know he's in a different situation now, and that factors in. But I'm just glad he's keeping it real. And
so
Juju is somebody who's always on social media.
He is though. He is always on social media.
And I feel like he went at him on his platform.
Nah, because you had him.
And he pointed out.
But you ain't say it to his. What Juju saying, you ain't say it to my face when I went together. No, he didn't, though. No, I don't think so at all. He did. And you know what I'm saying? He ain't reply and say he did. AB was the dude that you're claiming he was. He would say, I said it in your face. And he ain't tweet that.
I'm not saying he's that dude. I don't think the opportunity presented itself, to be honest.
He had all day. He had all day in the locker room after that game. He had the whole offseason when he came to when he did come into the facility because he came and met with Rooney. He had the opportunity.
He had enough battles going on though. When you think about it, this is why all the rumors came out at the end of the season. Like we're hearing that he doesn't want to play for the team no more. We're hearing that he's not getting along with Tomlin with Roethlisberger. He had enough going on to worry about Juju, in my opinion.
I'm just saying, like, all right, this is what Juju said though. He said, "Crazy how big that ego got." To be,
I agree with that.
To be taking shots at people who show you love. That's all I'm saying. Like you're going, like this dude tweeted out, like I'm happy for my man AB and all this other stuff. Then you go back and say, you know what? Like basically, you trashing Juju because the Steelers came out with a social media tweet or Facebook post about Juju being the MVP. Juju had the MVP season anyway. Had the best numbers between the wide receivers. that year.
Well, it does make him kind of salty. I'm saying he sounds like a salty,
but you know what, a salty youngin.
I feel like, again, I like his honesty. And also, it's not uncommon for guys to leave a franchise and talk about old teammates.
Agreed.
Tiki Barber, as soon as he retired and went on TV, he started hating on Eli. And
Tiki's a different, is another dude, too.
I'm just saying it happens. Who was it that left the Skins and went to the Giants and said, I'm glad I'm not
Antonio Pierce.
And said, no, what was that? Antonio Pierce.
He used to trash the Skins when we went to the Giants.
Of course he did, but it's
Antonio Pierce.
He did go to the Giants too, but it was somebody after him. And there was a linebacker. I'll have to look it up. But he also said, I'm glad I'm not in that locker room. It's never about football over there.
You sure that ain't AP?
No, it wasn't Antonio. I'll find it. Okay. Because
you're 85%, right? So
I'll find it. Go ahead. Keep talking while I find it then.
All right, so I posted on our Facebook page and on Twitter, like, what's up with the beef with AB and Juju? My man Joaquin Bennett posted on Facebook, don't know, but this diary of a mad black man is whack. Juju broke out. Just move on. I agree. Like, you just move on from it, man. Because all this, you sound real childish to be talking about Juju.
It looked like it was Keenan Robinson.
Oh, yeah, it was Keenan. Keenan Robinson
came out and he said, I'm glad I'm not playing in Washington no more. I'm with a franchise. It's about football.
That's fine.
Because somebody had responded like, well, you know what? He didn't say that dude is why he was here.
No, but that's different, though. That's not a direct insult to one man. You know what I mean? Like, you're going at, you know what I mean? You're going at one man. You're not going at an entity. You're going at one man.
Okay, LeVar Arrington, he did it when he got on the radio.
Who did he talk? He trashed.
Clint Portis.
Yeah, that was a punk move. And we all said that.
I'm just saying it's common.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's still a punk move. It's as calm as you want. I guess we're like coming from two different directions. Like, I'm talking about the act is a punk move. Okay, I get it. I'm not saying it's not.
Nobody's wrong
new.
Here. You always get so emotional.
No, I'm not emotional. I'm just saying, like, my thing is that either way, it's still a punk move. Like, you're trashing somebody on social media because you're upset. And then you say, and different from like the LeVar situation or any other situation, you're salty that this man is shining. And the reports where you were salty, this man was shining while you were in Pittsburgh. You were having issues with that. You come out after that. Now you prove it by saying, boy, fumbled the game away for the postseason. You come out with that now.
Hey, listen. He's a competitor. This is a guy you compete with. And is he lying?
He ain't. Let me say this.
Is he lying? Did the boy not fumble in New Orleans?
No, I'm going to look at this wall right here. This blank wall. I'm going to say this. I'm imagining this is AB. I'm going to say this. Dude, you ain't Julio. Because Julio don't. That's why I said Julio the best wide receiver in the game. Because Julio don't do crap like that. Like, Julio is a team-oriented individual. He ain't trashing his teammates. If Calvin Ridley was getting catches, Julio wouldn't say, oh, man. Like, well, Calvin, he dropped that pass. He overrated. Or if... what's his name? Sanu. If he wasn't making money, if Sanu was balling, and he was balling, Sanu has been balling in the past. If folks say, you know what, Sanu is, you know, getting money, who's Julio? Julio ain't trash to Sanu.
Well, you know what? I will agree with that, and I agree with Juju and him saying, look how big his ego got, because it's true. Antonio Brown, when his numbers started to increase and he started to make a name for himself, he seemed like just this humble, hardworking
guy.
Now, he started to dance on touchdowns. That's fine. That's part of the game. But I will agree with that. And Julio, I don't like the comparison only because Julio is such a different type of person.
Yeah.
In the sense that
a good teammate.
What other star receiver who is not getting any red zone touches, who's not scoring any touchdowns, but will lead the team in receptions, not come
complain
out to the
and
media,
complain.
Or
exactly.
Not come out to somebody and complain. There's no source saying he did this. He's all about winning. And you know what? I think he respects the fact that he has a relationship with a quarterback that knows him very well, that he's put up very good numbers with, and they were so close on two separate occasions of winning a Super Bowl. Antonio Brown, to me, that's the one difference that stands out, is he doesn't appreciate what he accomplished with a guy like Roethlisberger and with the Steelers
franchise.
I feel like he just right now he's very bitter, and that's what's bringing a lot of this out. But I do again like the fact that he is speaking his mind.
Look, man, I have no issue with him trashing Big Ben, because I think Big Ben.
See,
does get away.
There's your bias, because you don't like Roethlisberger.
No,
it's not fair. And all of a sudden you're like a Juju fan. I don't even get it.
Hey, Juju on that beat. Juju, cool man.
Juju is like the football's Enos Kanter. who will come at
no,
who's on social media, dog. And he's funny and he's entertaining. But he put up
well,
the
no,
numbers.
No, real talk, real he talk, numbers, real talk. Though, the Big Ben thing, I think Big Ben be carrying a lot of folks, but that's a whole different thing, though.
Oh yeah, and he's the darling of the franchise.
But I will, but. The way, but going on Juju ain't that ain't right. Juju ain't do nothing to you, man. You gotta get over that. Juju ain't do nothing to you. And I will say this too, like this, you could tell what an ego, like when his ego blew up because when he was behind Mike Wallace and all them, like he was starving to be a beast. You ain't hear nothing about Antonio Brown.
Emmanuel Sanders was
yeah, he wasn't. My thing is that I've always said this. If you've always been that dude, be that dude. You weren't that dude in the beginning. I'll give Odell Beckham Jr. He's always been that dude. He's always been that boisterous dude.
Many people do change once they start to
get that money, yeah.
That notoriety, and it's unfortunate.
You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
That's the problem we had with Jimmy Butler in basketball.
Yeah, exactly. I had the same issue with Jimmy Butler.
All of a sudden, I'm going to act different.
You were pressed to get a league. You were hungry.
Now both of them work hard. Both of them are super talented.
Yeah, both of them work hard, super talented.
What they've achieved.
But I'm just saying, be that dude in the beginning.
Arrogant, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Be that dude in the beginning. That's all I'm saying. Be that
kind of like Chad Ocho Singh is the best example. He wasn't putting up numbers, but he was crazy.
He was crazy. He's always crazy. Just be that dude.
He always acted like he was that guy. He became that guy.
And he became that guy. It eventually evened out for him. It evened out. 80, that's all I'm saying.
85.
What? All right, man. It's time to wrap this show. Thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Urban Sports Save for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mecca, lead us out, big homie.